Our text this evening is found in Proverbs 15 and verse 29 of that chapter, and we'll look at other of the Proverbs that are in connection with this theme. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. I want to ask the question this evening, who can pray? Who can pray? And I want to show you from the Word of God that you can only truly pray to God through Jesus Christ. That there is no true prayer outside of Christ. And I think there's a great deal of confusion about that. And when you speak to people and those folk outside the church, the vast majority would say that even if there is a God, he would hear every prayer anyway. In fact, it's surprising that even regarding the apparent atheism and secularization of our society, that when a crisis comes or some difficulty arises, many turn to some idea of prayer, whether it's saying set prayers or whatever it may be, some form of prayer. And most people who do not even believe in the Lord Jesus or follow Christianity have some idea of lifting up voices to higher authority, higher power, and all the rest, an idea of prayer, and at times pray. It's interesting when you speak to folk, you know, they'll pray for their children, they'll pray for their families, they'll pray for their health. They appreciate it when you offer to pray for them. They pray for help. And so to even suggest that God does not hear the prayers of all people is seen as an appalling thing. In a world with many different religions and a desire to embrace cultural pluralism, it is intolerant, offensive even, to say that God would not hear someone's prayer, regardless of religion or state or all the rest, and especially if it's offered sincerely. Because everyone believes that if there is a God, God will hear and respond to our prayers regardless. So I want to ask the question tonight, is that true? Does God hear all prayers regardless? Is it possible that God would not hear a person's prayer? Now, the only way to answer that is not for me to give you opinions, but to come to the Word of God and to see what the Bible says. And I'm not offering opinions or easy answers. I'm only concerned with what the Scriptures say. You see, the Bible says that God does not hear the prayers of all people regardless. And you might find that upsetting. You might find it alarming. And therefore, we need to see tonight, well, who can pray? And whose prayer does God actually hear? So these questions are essential. Whose prayer does God hear? What are the reasons why he might not listen to my prayer? How can I pray in such a way that God will not only hear, but answer? Well, thankfully, Proverbs gives us the answer to these questions and gives us clarity about praying in a way that God hears. And that's why our text is so important. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. So who can pray to God? The righteous can pray to God. Now, when we read that verse, we're reading something that is called Hebrew poetic parallelism. Now, you say, well, what is that? Well, there are different types. So sometimes the second line of a verse will say something similar to the first. Sometimes it can be that the second line says something that is in contrast, is opposite to what has just been said. But here in our text, we see the type of parallelism in which one line is used to expand and explain the other one. So it gives a further meaning. So in our text, when the first line says that the Lord is far from wicked people, the conclusion from that is that God is near to righteous people. And then when the second line says that God hears the prayers of the righteous, we draw the conclusion rightly that God doesn't hear the prayer of the wicked. So you say, well, how does this work out? What happens then? Well, when our text says that God does not hear their prayer, we need to understand that it is not saying that he doesn't audibly hear it. Of course, he hears what is said because God is omniscient. He is all-knowing. Nothing escapes his eye, his attention. But he chooses not to hear or to respond. He will not do anything with what is said. And we can understand something of what that is like. Maybe you can think of a time when you've been in a conversation with someone and you've tuned out for a moment, and we hear what they're saying as a kind of a background noise, but we don't respond. Now, God hears imperfection, but he doesn't respond. As one said, God is not with the wicked in crisis like he is with the righteous. The Bible is very clear about that. Listen to Isaiah 59:2. But your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Now, the difficulty, however, is this. Many people assume that they are righteous. Now, they might not use that word, but they think that they are good enough. So many think to themselves, well, deep down, I'm a good person. And so God must hear me. But the question has to be asked, who then are the wicked? People in the world will have all the different standards by which they define who is wicked and who is not. But you know something, for all of the conversation and conjecture about that, it doesn't matter. Because it's God's standard that matters. He defines what it is. And that is revealed in his word, the Bible. And the Bible says that we are all wicked by nature. Why? Because the wicked are those who reject God's law, who rebel against him, who disobey his word, who reject him, who disobey his word. So Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So sin ruins. And by nature, all of us, me included, we all come short of God's standard. And so in our fallen condition, as God sees it, we are the wicked and we deserve judgment. Proverbs 28:9 says, one who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. Now, if you don't listen to God's word to you, then we can rightly say, he will not listen to your words to him. As one says, if a person lives as though they are deaf to God and deaf to his word, then they shouldn't be surprised when God exercises a deafness to their prayer. He finds the prayers of sinners detestable. Now, if you don't listen to God's word, then God will not listen to you. That includes, by the way, sins of commission and omission. Now, what are they? Well, it means doing what you are not supposed to do and not doing what you are supposed to do. So if you lie or blaspheme, take God's name in vain or steal, these are examples of sins of commission. And God will not hear your prayer. Or if you don't let go of that grudge as you should, or don't serve others because of selfishness, or don't treasure your wife as you should, these are examples of sins of omission. And God will not hear your prayer. For example, Proverbs says that the wicked are those who purposely refuse to be generous to the poor. And so God doesn't hear their prayer. Proverbs 21:13, whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry out himself and not be heard. Similarly, if you're not generous to your neighbor, then God won't hear your prayers. Now, in some ways, maybe as you've been listening, these truths may not actually be that shocking for you. Because really, there are many people who think along the following lines. They say, well, if you're a good person, then it's likely that God will listen to you. But if you're a bad person, then there's no chance that God will listen to you. And in the thinking of many people, there is still that underlying default position of works. So by doing good things, we earn enough merit with God, and so God is always more favorable to those who are doing the good things to hear them. Now you may think there as you're listening, well, God will never listen to me. He'll never accept me because of all the sinful things that I've done. He'll only hear the good and the sincere and the pious people and the moral people and the churchgoers and all the rest. Maybe we think he only listens to people who pray in a certain way or with a certain language, or you might be thinking that you need to clean up your life first and just start doing more good things, and then you'll be in a better position for God to hear you. Maybe even trying to do what you think God wants. You know, still so many people, you know, that I speak to say, oh, well, I'm trying to live a good life. And, you know, they talk about things in the Sermon on the Mount. They don't know it's the Sermon on the Mount, but it's there. And they're talking and say, well, we try to live like that. And if we live like that, then God will listen to me. Or maybe you should start giving or reading the Bible or getting back to church. And then he's bound to hear you, isn't he? Well, actually, you'd be wrong. Proverbs 15:8, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. As one says, the folly of the wicked is to think that formal and outward adherence to the law of God can benefit them in any way at all. You see, it comes down to the heart, and the heart of the sacrificer, not the sacrifice that is being performed. It is about the person doing the ritual, not the ritual itself. God hates mere religion and religious ritual that is external and doesn't affect the heart and isn't accompanied by a changed heart. It's worthless to him. And you have to understand that this type of religious externals, which we've seen with the Pharisees and all the rest, is really just trying to manipulate God. And you say, well, why is that? Because it says this. It says, if I am good, if I go through the motions, if I try to do what God says, then he must owe me. And he must do what I ask him to do, because I put in the time with all these other things. And so he must do what I ask him to do. Well, that's manipulation. And God detests it. You see, reforming behavior is not enough. Tinkering with the externals. You know, in the Old Testament, you see that people still face the same issue that we face. They were sinners. Were sinners. And in the Old Testament, the sacrifices were performed to atone for sin and to bring forgiveness. And the problem is that these rituals couldn't deal with sin ultimately. They were pointing to the ultimate sacrifice. They were pointing to Jesus. But God says that the wicked are not truly repentant, not humble, not dependent upon God. And so they just think that by performing some religious duty, then God owes them, that God must respond. You know, similarly today, there are people who think, well, you know, if I just go to church, or maybe even if I just have that quiet time, or maybe if I give a little bit more, then God will definitely answer me. But without genuine faith and trust in the Lord and dependence upon him, true repentance, that relationship with him, then the outward form means nothing. You know, if you consider history and you look back to all the generations of people who have passed, throughout those times, people at various times have tried to perform religious rites or rituals in an attempt to manipulate the favor of God. And the thinking was, well, if we do this, God will be in our debt, as it were, so he must owe me and he must do what I ask him to do. Yeah, there are many examples of that today. Let me give you one that I came across recently. I heard of a recent appeal on one of the so-called Christian channels where if you sent in your money, then you could buy an anointed handkerchief and you would then know great blessing. And the idea was that for your $500, you then were to pray holding the sanctified handkerchief three times a day for a month. And then you would be guaranteed a tenfold increase on your initial faith investment. The ministry promised that if you followed that prayer ritual, then God would be bound to give you what you wanted, namely $5,000 a month. By the way, that is not biblical. In fact, it's more paganism and mysticism than anything else. And no doubt many of you will sat there and say, well, I'd never do anything like that. I'd never get involved in anything like that. And we might comfort ourselves. But actually, many of us can easily fall into the trap of doing the similar thing. You say, well, how? Well, we think if we are good, or if we do certain things, then God will listen to us and do what we ask. It might not be the handkerchief, but it may be bargaining with the Lord. You know, Lord, if you just get me out of this tight situation, then I promise, Lord, I really will walk more closely with you. Lord, if you just do this for me, I'll do this for you, Lord. Or we can think that if we just give up that particular sin that we struggle with, anger, lust, profanity, or whatever it may be, oh, well, God will listen to me then. Or if we just start this new program of all the rest, and God will stop meeting us with silence because we're going through this 10 steps to a closer walk and all the rest. Or if we get this anger or selfishness under control, then God will surely let us get that job, or he'll let us win, or whatever it might be that we want to happen. And we trade off with God. It's more subtle than you think. And it's often revealed when we go through difficult times and we are reluctant to approach the Lord. If we're in a situation where maybe we know that we've stumbled and we've wandered, maybe we've even embraced sin willingly, and we convince ourselves then we cannot pray to the Lord. We feel as though we just cannot go to God for forgiveness because we don't deserve for him to listen to us. And we feel as though he must be so angry with us that we can never come to him and never pray. And the sin in our lives makes us feel as though we cannot pray, or that even if we did, it wouldn't do any good anyway. And so you fall into the trap of thinking, well, I need to clean myself up first. I need to make myself better before I can go to the Lord. Well, friend, that's not biblical. No matter who we are, we face this fundamental problem. If you think you are good and that God definitely hears and answers your prayer on the basis of what you do, you have a major problem. Why? The reality, according to God's word, is that you're a sinner, and in that state, God doesn't hear. Or maybe it's not that you think you're good, but you think you are so bad that God won't listen to you unless you make yourself better. Well, you still have a fundamental problem. And that's no amount of religion or ritual or effort to gain acceptance with God will work, let alone get him to give you what you want. Whichever you are, we all face the same fundamental problem. God doesn't respond to the prayers of the wicked, and that's us. So what do we do? If religion is not the answer, who can pray? How can we can pray at all? How can we come to God and know that he hears us? Well, it's not a new problem. Men and women have faced this since the fall in the garden. Sin ruined, and it ruins, and we're separated from God, and the relationship was lost and broken. And in Psalm 24, the psalmist asks such an important question regarding who can approach God, who can come into his presence. Listen to what he says. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol nor sworn deceitfully. Now, friends, nothing we can do can make us like that. There is only one man in all of time who fulfills that description perfectly. And in fact, just a few verses later in that very same psalm, we are given to see who it is. The King of Glory, Jesus of Nazareth, the Savior, Messiah. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ lived his life perfectly, totally righteous. He lived the life that we can never live. And more than that, he willingly went to the cross and he died the death that we should have died. And when the Lord Jesus died at Calvary, he atoned for the sin and all who would trust in him. He was the ultimate sacrifice, and God accepted his sacrifice. And he's the Lamb of God. He's the one without blemish. He is the upright one of Proverbs 15:8. And Jesus on the cross experienced the full wrath of God, the judgment of God for us. He was cut off. He was the one who cried out, and it was unanswered because he bore our sin in his own body on the tree. Matthew 27:46, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Friend, it is only through the person and work of Jesus Christ, through his atonement, that the relationship between God and man that has been ruined by sin can be restored for all who believe. And it's so wonderful because when he died, his death tore the veil in two. And that veil, which symbolized the separation between the holy God and sinful man. And so it is in Christ that we can have full and bold access to the Father. Matthew 27:51, then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. An act of God in redemption. And think of Hebrews 10, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And on the third day, Jesus, the righteous Son, rose in mighty triumph, and he ascended to sit at the Father's right hand. And now listen to Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. And so in Christ, we have access to boldly approach the throne of grace. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. As one says, our prayers are heard by God because Jesus is our righteous mediator before the Father. And it is through his righteousness, not ours, that God hears and answers our prayers. You say, well, how do we pray then? Well, we have to go in humble confession. The Bible says that we are sinners, that in that condition we do not deserve for God to hear us no matter what we do. The only way that we can have access to God in prayer is through Jesus Christ. And when we are brought to know that and to understand it and to believe it, the only way we can then come is in humble dependence. We recognize that it is only through Christ that we can know God, that we can know him as our Father. It is only in and through Christ that we can pray and know that we will be received and accepted and heard. We recognize as we come that we come pleading only his merit, his shed blood, his name. Do you know, in Jesus' name, it's not just a phrase to use at the end of your prayer, it's the whole heart disposition that we are coming in the name of Jesus. We are coming in him and through him who enables us to pray by grace. Jesus alone is the one who has made the way of access open, and it's only in and through him that the Father welcomes us and receives us and hears us and answers us. And Christ is our advocate, the intercessor, the only mediator between God and man. He brings our petitions to God. You know, if we were only to think of our unworthiness, we would never approach God with any confidence or boldness. We would never have any hope that our prayers would be heard or answered. But with Christ as our intermediary, the throne of dreadful glory and judgment is transformed so that it is a throne of grace. As one says, we need a mediator who should appear in our name, who should bear us up upon his shoulders and hold us tight to his chest so that we are heard in person. You know, we must be so clear, without the intercession of Christ, without his appearing for us, the approach to God in and through Christ, without that, our prayers would not be heard. No prayer is pleasing to God unless the mediator, Jesus Christ, sanctifies it. We come through him alone. And as we are sinners, friends, the first step to praying is to admit our sin, to repent and confess it to the Lord. Proverbs 28:13, he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them, that's repentance, will have mercy. Proverbs tells us, look, don't try and hide your sin. Don't try and deny it. You can't hide your sin from God. He knows all things. He sees you. He sees your heart. Rather, Proverbs says that we need to confess our sin and turn from it and abandon it and run to Christ. You know, in Genesis 3, Adam and Eve tried to hide their sin in the garden, didn't they? But the Bible says we must do the opposite. You can't minimize sin. You can't belittle it. You can't attempt to cover it up or hide it away or push it to the side. We must confess it humbly before a great God, pleading only Christ. And confession is more than just being sorry that you got caught or just being driven by the fear of the consequences for what we do. True repentance and confession is admitting that you're a sinner, that you deserve judgment, and crying out to God for mercy. You know, there are some who try to repent or confess their sin without really wanting to turn from their sin. You know, they have a remorse, but they don't really want to kill it in their life. As one says, you must be killing sin, or sin will be killing you. You know, if you think that you're good enough, you're absolutely wrong, and that's the truth of Scripture. The only way that you can come into God's presence is to recognize that you can never approach Him in your own efforts. We need to be given access by the only one who is able to stand and who can give us that righteousness and acceptance. It is only in Christ. And it's only as we repent of sin and trust in Christ that we know forgiveness and acceptance, and we are given the righteousness of Jesus, which enables us to come boldly. And we don't manipulate the Lord, we just cast ourselves on Him, on His mercy, humbly depending on His person, upon His work. You see, true prayer is impossible apart from faith in Jesus. It stems from faith. It is a fruit of faith. As one says, you may repeat the words of a prayer in a religious meeting. You may express yourself in very elegant words or the stock phrases of conventional piety and yet be a prayerless person. You may even cry out to God from some pressing need but never possess the spirit of prayer, because prayer is the soul's breath to God in faith and hope and love, and all in Christ. The problem is that even as believers, those of us who have been given to know and believe these great truths, is that we forget that the basis of our acceptance is in Christ and not in ourselves. We're so quick to forget and start acting like those who don't know the Lord. We lose sight of the fact that we are only accepted in Jesus, and we fall into the trap of thinking, well, I've got to make myself better. I've got to try harder for God to hear me or for God to answer, for God to respond. That is not grace. And it's not the gospel. As one says, we humbly and simply plead for the mercy of God through the cross of Christ. And in Christ, God is always for us. And He's never against us. He may discipline us as a loving Father for our good, but He will not condemn us or judge us or cast us aside. He is for us in Christ. And even tonight you may have come and you may feel as though you've really messed something up and you're wondering whether you can go to God. Your acceptance with God is bound up in Jesus Christ. Prayer is in and through Christ. It's wonderful, you know, because when we approach in that way, and when we pray in that way, as one says, we pray, as it were, by His mouth, because Christ gives us entrance, Christ gives us the audience, and Christ intercedes for us. Romans 8:34, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. God not only gently and lovingly invites us in Christ to pray, but He has provided all the means through which we can approach Him, and that being His own Son, the Savior. And as we come through His name, through his blood, through his merit, then we can pray. And you know, the enemy will often try to rob you of that. And he'll come in, and there are times maybe when you've stumbled, or maybe you've not known the joy of following the Lord as once you did, and maybe your heart is cold, and maybe you've not been in the Word as often as you should, and the enemy will say, he's not going to hear you. He's not going to hear you. There's no point in praying because he's not interested. He's angry with you. But no, we plead Christ. And God's favor rests upon us, not because of what we do, but because of Christ. And so we have access in Christ. You know, in that passage in Luke's gospel, Jesus told the parable of two men who went to pray. One was the Pharisee, the other was the tax collector. We know it well, don't we? God accepted one man's prayer, rejected the other. And at the time, the parable didn't go the way the listeners thought it was going to go. You see, everyone listening thought that Jesus was going to conclude and say, well, it was the religious man, he was heard. The externally immaculate Pharisee, he would be heard. But he wasn't heard. They expected the sinful, wicked tax collector to remain unheard. But he was heard because he was too ashamed to even lift his eyes to heaven. And he cried out, God, be merciful to me. And the access came through the Savior. You see, God did not only hear that man, but we're also told that God justified that man. And there's only one way to be justified before God. And that is in Jesus Christ. And so tonight, if you want to be heard by the King of the universe, if you want to be able to pray, to call on the God of all things as your Father, then you come humbly as a sinner and you plead the mercy of Jesus Christ. And you plead that he is the only way for you to be accepted. And when you know that for yourself, then you will know truly that wonderful testimony of Psalm 34:6. And these are such precious words. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Who can pray? Those who come to God through Jesus Christ. That's it. And that's how we can come. Don't look to any other means. Don't go anywhere else. But come to Jesus and know that in him is that sure foundation with which you can go to God at all times and lay your heart before him. May God bless you and help you. Amen.